as we talk about, we reflect on Jesus' ascension. There's some things I want us to reflect on. And just going through that story a little bit to begin with. But as we begin, I'd like to start out by praying one more time. So join your hearts with mine. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that meets us here in this moment, that helps us to receive from you what we need. Faith to believe. Lord, your spirit that opens our hearts and our minds to listen and to follow. Lord, and you give us the love and the grace we need. And Lord, it's that same grace and love that our neighbors need, that this world needs. So Lord, help us to be filled up with it in this moment. We pray this in your name. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I love to fly. Does anybody here hate to fly? Anybody not a fan of airplanes or flying at all? Not like the airport. I'm with you there, right? And like, I think private airports, if you go to the Detroit City Airport, that's a little scary. I don't know if there's some city airports or regional airports in the Ann Arbor area immediately. I got to imagine there's some close by. But I love to fly. I love to fly from the time when Superman was the thing, right? And I'm a child of the 80s. I was born in 79, but I'm a child of the 80s. And so I saw, how many of you were alive when summer movies were a thing? Like you get a string of tickets from school, right? At the end of the school year and your parents buy it. No, maybe it's just a thing where I grew up anyway. But there are like older movies you saw on the cheap during the day. It was great. And that is how I saw Superman in the movie theater. I love that movie. A dude who could fly, I thought that was great. And as I got older, I got into airplanes and jets. I thought those were super cool. My first dream was to be an Air Force pilot, right? And that didn't quite work out, but that's all right. God has me where he wants me. I have no doubt this is where I need to be. Shortly before Lisa and I got married, though, I was able to do 30 minutes, to log 30 minutes of flight time. So I hopped in a plane with an instructor, and I did 3 takeoffs and landings at an airport in Kansas City. It was amazing. I loved it. It was so cool. And then just flying in jets. The only thing I haven't really flown in is a rocket or the space shuttle. I mean, fighter jets too. I haven't been there either. But I just think like about rockets and flight and all that is. And like thinking about Jesus and the ascension, right? Like how did he like lift up into the air? Was it his own power? Like what was going on there? And I think it's revealed in the text what happened. And if you go back verse 9, he says, and when he had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up, right? Jesus was lifted up. So if you know, do we have anybody that loves grammar here, loves the English language? A few of you. All right, good, all right. So What becomes important to me in terms of like translating and understanding the importance of what's written, but then also like how to make sense of it for all of us. When it says he was lifted up, that means it was passive, right? Something was happening to Jesus. Jesus was lifted up. So he wasn't raising himself up, right? He wasn't doing a Superman thing there, right? He was being lifted up. Now, how was Jesus being lifted up? How does that work? Well, Luke kind of starts his book off in this chapter off, in this section off, reminding us of the resurrection. And so sometimes it's a little hard to think, all right, Jesus raised up in the sky, like, you know, was he, you know, a shaman or a Zen master? Or was he like doing a Jedi thing where he was floating? Or was it like Superman? It was none of those things. It was none of those things. And sometimes some of the most challenging things to believe about God are some of the impossible things he does, like healing, or rising from the dead, or ascending into heaven. In this day and age, like Ascension Day, back in the day, right about the in the days of Superman, right, when he was popular, Ascension Day used to be its own church service on Thursday nights, and like the church would get together. And that's changed in our culture, right? Even church culture, it doesn't hold the same place, same sway for our culture and community. And that's all right. Like, cultures change. But we shouldn't miss the importance of what God is doing in this moment. Jesus being lifted up from the earth. The same way Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the power, by the glory of the Father through the power of the Spirit. So at the resurrection, we see the Father doing his work through the power of the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this series, this moved series, we're going to end on talking about the Trinity, but I wanted to point this out here in this case because it is the triune power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, that also worked in the person of Jesus, that lifted him up from the earth and removed him from view. It is that same God, that same power, that same Spirit that is in this place right now, which may be a little hard to feel, right? I'm not feeling necessarily like I'm floating on air right in this moment, right? Some Sundays, a little bit harder to wake up than others. Some Sundays, it's a little bit harder to, you know, talk myself into coming to church. Now, for me, it's a little bit different because I work here, right? This is a passion of mine, but I get not wanting to wake up as early on Sunday and come in. Sometimes it's just easier to sleep in. I get that. And yet the power of God compels us to gather to here in this place. And so as we look at the rest of this text, there are three things I want to draw our attention to in as the power of God through the work of the Spirit and the person of Jesus. Three things I want to touch on is the power to stay, right? And this power to rise up sermon is the power to stay, the power that fills, and the power to rise up. So the power to stay, the power that fills, and the power to rise up. It should be rise up. I didn't change it. That's my bad. It says wait, but it should say rise up. Sorry about that. That's on me. Thank you, slide person. You're great. So as we look at this first point, let's go back to verses 3, 4, and 5, okay? It'll be on the screen. So he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. So I just want to pause there for a moment. Jesus presented himself as alive, right? If you could read, about this in Matthew 28, Luke 24, Mark 16, and John 20 and 21. All of these are stories about, and not like just like made up stories, but like accounts, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all interviewed eyewitnesses. And how do we know they interviewed eyewitnesses? They're not just making this up. Another writer by the name of Paul, in a letter he wrote called 1 Corinthians chapter 15, said Jesus appeared to over 500 people after he rose, right? And we have four guys getting all those accounts, all right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're writing these things down. They're interviewing those 500 plus people and getting their stories. And so we have these different eyewitness accounts. So Jesus appeared after his suffering by many proofs. Not only did he show up, right, but he spoke to them. He got into locked rooms because they were hiding because of the religious leaders. They were afraid that we're going to come after them. And even in this locked room, Jesus shows up and he speaks to them. He says, look, I'm not a ghost. And they're still freaked out. So what does he do? He's like, all right, do you have anything to eat? And they give him some fish, and he ate it, and they believed, right? Jesus wasn't it wasn't ghost Jesus. It wasn't hallucination Jesus. It was skin and bone, real Jesus in the flesh in that room with them during 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. And so this is a period of 40 days. Jesus was with them for over a month. That 40 days, the number 40 has a significant number. We hear that a lot. It's a number that means Jesus spent a full amount of time with the disciples after his resurrection, teaching them more, just speaking with them about the kingdom of God. That's verse 3. Verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 5, in which he said, you heard from me, right? Jesus is saying, you heard from me talk about the promise of the Father coming to you. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, what does not many days from now mean? Well, we know now what it means, but then if you're the disciples, you're like, all right, Jesus, what does that mean? Because like with God, a day could be like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be like a day. So several days, does that mean like several 1,000 years? Now we know it only means 10 days, and we're going to talk about that next week. Because what happens here, verse 5, is what happens in chapter 2 of Acts. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Hope you can join us. And so in this whole section, Jesus is getting them ready for what's about to happen. And he tells them to do what? Back in verse 4, he says, stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait here. How many of you, now, why would Jesus want them to stay, right? Jesus knows what's going to happen. He doesn't want them to miss what's about to happen, right? When have you been told, when somebody told you to stay and you just couldn't wait any longer, you had to leave, right? When was the last time you missed something because you couldn't wait? Anybody, has that happened to anybody? I was trying to think of that myself. When is the last time I missed something? Here's the thing about me. I'm a pretty forgetful person. So when I miss something, like, oh man, that stinks. And unless it's like something really painful and there's shame attached to it, that I'll recycle in my head over and over. But like something I missed, like, oh man, I missed it. What an opportunity. I can't really remember. So I don't know if any of you can remember those either, but I know there have been things in my life that I've missed because I wasn't patient. Or because I became distracted. And maybe it was a friendship. I do remember one thing back in college. There was a person I'd been talking to, way before Lisa. A person I'd been talking to, and we're like, okay, we're going to meet up for a date. And I was waiting for them, and they just never showed. So I was like, I can't wait any longer. I'm going back to my dorm room. And found out later, they ended up showing up. And, you know, I missed out on a date. I think it worked out. But sometimes there are things we miss out on because we just can't wait. And so Jesus is wanting his followers to stay. When you want to live for Jesus, when you want to do anything for God, when you're ready and willing to give it all up, right? How many of you have had that moment where you're following Jesus and you're like, Lord, I will do anything for you. As those who come to faith a little bit later in life, especially this is true, like they get there's a breakthrough, they understand who Jesus is. They're like, man, I will give up my family, I will give up my friends, I'll give it all up for you, Jesus. And what does Jesus typically ask us to do though? Stay. Stay in your family, live your life. Now, maybe you change how you relate to your group of friends, and if they're exceptionally toxic or you get into bad things when you're with them, maybe your relationship with them needs to change. But by and large, God asks you to stay. Why? Right? He tells them this in these last three verses, right? To be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. Actually, I believe it's coming up in the next section. To be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So you're going to go outside Jerusalem eventually, but not yet. You're going to go to the end of the earth. You are going to be my witnesses, but not yet. Right now, I want you to stay. I want you to wait for what God is going to do. Man, that sometimes is the hardest thing. Some of you have been waiting for God to plant another church here in Ann Arbor. I've been waiting to be a church planter, well, from when I first heard about it, back in 2012, right? It's been a bit of a waiting cycle to get here. I know another one of our people, Beth, She's been waiting for, I know, Sue, would you say like 12 years too, something like that? It's been a burden on her heart as well. And God's saying, stay, wait. I am with you, and things are going to happen, but in my time. And so Jesus tells his disciples to wait. I was talking about rockets a little bit earlier. Think about what has to happen for a rocket in order to launch, right? All the pieces have to be assembled. It has to be fitted together just so. All the safety checks, all the safety double checks, all the safety triple checks, that rocket has to remain connected to electrical systems, monitoring systems, fuel systems. Then they have to fuel up the rocket. They have to load the cargo or the passengers, the astronauts, whoever. And then it gets to go. But for a long time, that rocket has to stay put to get prepped and ready to launch. God is doing his work here at Emmaus. And he's bringing his fuel, the fuel of his word and his spirit to us every Sunday, and at times in between Sundays. And we want you to be fueled up with that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that lifted him from the earth, that lifts our hearts when they're heavy. You've heard me say this before, and there's a reason I repeat it. I heard a pastor say this early on in my training, and it just stuck with me. And I can't believe I had never heard of it or thought it before, but Jesus meets you here. Because that's his promise to you, and he actually does meet you here with his word and his spirit. And that, after all the interactions we see with Jesus in Scripture, people always walk away different, sometimes for the worse. Their hearts are hardened, something's going on there. Sometimes they walk away, and their hearts are lighter, they're forgiven, their lives are changed for the better. And we pray that's something you experience here. And so, as thinking about a rocket getting prepped and ready to launch, thinking about the disciples getting prepped and ready for what God's about to do, the call is to stay and to be filled up. And so the power to rise coming from the Father, and expressing his power through the work of the Holy Spirit, that power to rise is a power that fills. A power that fills. And we read about that in the next verses, 6 and following. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Pause there. The disciples, the apostles, like just about everybody in Israel who has a sense of Israel's history and believe Jesus is the Messiah, right? They are waiting for God to restore Israel's fortunes. Israel used to be a contender, right? They used to be a power in that part of the world, and they're waiting for God to restore the nation of Israel to be God's power in the world. But as they're waiting for their political and power aspirations to come into play, they miss what God is actually doing. They get distracted, right? And so Jesus, he's still with them, and he talks about, all right, you know, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God, right? That's the word he gave to Mary to give to them at the resurrection. He's getting them ready for this, and they, as much as they are filled, they've been breathed on, right? Jesus breathed on the Holy Spirit onto them. They've been with him. They believe he's alive. They believe he's completely different than any Messiah they dreamt of before. And yet, all right, so now are we going to get our power back? Jesus is like, oh, we're still with that. Okay. Notice in the next verse, Jesus doesn't answer the question. Right? How many of you have prayed to God and you never really receive an answer? To your understanding, you feel like God does not answer your prayer. Right? Garth Brooks wrote a country song, right? I thank God for unanswered prayers. Well, one, I mean, say what you about country music, it is an art form. Two, like Garth Brooks, he was a powerhouse performer back in the day. But, like, God always answers prayer. So, there are no such thing as unanswered prayers. Just to give you some assurance when you pray, God hears you. There's no such thing as unanswered prayers. But God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want. He doesn't answer our questions directly all the time. He answers them with things like this. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." It's like saying, you're focusing on the wrong thing, right? It's not for you to know the times and seasons the Father has fixed, right? So there's, I don't know how many of you remember, gosh, was it 10 years ago, 20 years ago? There was that craze about trying to decode the Bible, that if we crack the code of the Bible, then we could find the date when Jesus would return. Like, and in two different places, this is one of them, Jesus says, like, you're doing it wrong, right? Give up the pursuit of codes and numbers, and like the Bible's a code for you to figure out. It is a word from God that the Spirit makes known to you. And so times and seasons, that's something the Father has fixed by his own authority, verse 8. But you will receive power, not the power to dominate nations as a political force or a military force, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And, here it is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You may not reign over nations as king or as an imperial force. But you will bring the reign and rule of God to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the end of the earth. God is going to give you power, but it's not the power you're on a quest for. It's the power that God is on a mission to bring about through his word, his Spirit, and his people. It's a power that fills you. And so as you read through this chapter and the next, you find that they do wait, and that something as amazing is about to happen, and all they need to do is not leave. Right? How many of you have been given like the simplest task in the world, but it also becomes the hardest task? Right? Because it's like this one thing you need to do, but you can't keep your mind, like it's so simple, but it's like your mind is going in all different places waiting for this one thing to happen, right? Yeah, it's hard. Sometimes it's just like remembering to, wash the dishes, or, some mundane household chore you would rather not do, right? And it happens in our house. It happens to me. I'm a little bit ashamed to say, at the age of 43. But thankfully, by God's Spirit, they do stay, and they don't miss what God is about to do. But were they tempted? Were they tempted to leave? Were they tempted to just like, all right, it's been a few days, was it day 3 or 4 or 5 or 9? Like, I can't wait anymore. I got stuff to do. I'll hear about it. Could you imagine if one of the disciples said that? What they would miss out on. I wanted to share at this point also, it's just some feedback I received. I don't know how you guys are feeling about the church plan, how you're feeling about Emmaus. I'm grateful that you're all here. And it's probably you all in particular that maybe know this already, you've experienced. So a guy named Matt Peoples, who's been a church planter longer than I have, he's come alongside us for a season or two to walk with us, help me grow as a leader, help us to grow as a church plant. And he's leading our missionary pathway sessions. He and I were talking this past Thursday, and he's like, "Chris, I want to tell you, like, you have some of the best people on your team. Like, they come in with no other agenda other than wanting people to know Jesus." I got to tell you, after being in a few different churches where I have to fight for that agenda, like, it's so refreshing to be surrounded by people like you that have that heart. And I pray it's something that doesn't diminish. I pray it's something that God not only kindles, fans into flame all the more, but it's something that spreads to people as they come in and visit this place, or it spreads through our conversations, that it's something beautiful that God does, because it's something beautiful he's already begun. I heard that word. I wanted to pass that on to you. So as we're waiting for numbers to grow and more people to come, and like we want more people even from ULC in St. Paul or from other churches, but also from our neighborhoods and other places, like God is being faithful right now through you. And I'm not the only one that sees it. The people that that have seen this happen in different places across the country are seeing it happen here. And so thank you for already being a witness for God in this place at this time. So let's continue to wait and serve together. One last point, the power to rise up. And let's go to verses 9 through the end here. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, as he was lifted up, a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And he said, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go." Jesus was lifted, right? We talked about this already. Christ was raised. The Father is doing his work through the power of the Spirit. And the disciples, right, the apostles, the ones who were gathered there, taking this all in, they're kind of lost in wonder, right? Matthew, at the end of his gospel, says they assembled on a mountain with Jesus outside of Jerusalem, and they gathered and they worshiped him on the mountain, but some doubted. I don't know how you feel about that, like some of the apostles being present with Jesus on the mountain, worshiping him, but doubting. Like, well, why are they doubting? Probably for some of the same reasons some of us still struggle with doubt at times. And for them, it was in that moment. And so even as they're worshiping and doubting and Jesus is speaking to them, he's lifted up and removed from their view. And now they're wondering, what just happened? Like Jesus, like I can't see him anymore and he's not on the ground anymore. What does this mean? And so they get lost. As they're lost in wonder, the disciples get recentered, reminded of Jesus and given a promise, right? This Jesus who you saw ascend, the same Jesus you saw rise from the dead, he's going to come back. He will return in the same way you saw him leave. And we're waiting to understand precisely what that means. But while we wait, we go to work. Do the same thing the disciples have been doing, right? Many things can and will distract you from Jesus, from what he's revealed and from what he's promised. But he continues through the voice of his messengers, whether they're angels or parents or children or neighbors or just creation itself. He continues to call you back, to remind you of truth, to center you in his love and his grace. Jesus did ascend into heaven. By the same power that raised him from the dead, the same power that's in you. And he will return in that power. And until then, he calls you to stay, to fill you up with his Spirit, to fill you up with his power, and to be his witnesses all the days between now and when he returns. So, while we wait for him, let's see, hear, and love the way God sees, hears, and loves you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that reveals things to us like your ascension. And that, Lord, you reveal to us in other places that because you ascended, because you are at the right hand of the Father, you are there mediating for us, interceding for us. You're speaking to the Father on our behalf. And you continue to rule and reign over your church, Lord, through your Holy Spirit in and amongst your people. You call us your body. So even as you are sitting on the throne in next to the Father, you are also present here in many real ways. Lord, let your power continue to rule and reign in our hearts as we wait for you to return and to see you face to face. So we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right.